Okay, this is the first class of the course, the Book of Hebrews. It doesn't seem like it was that long ago I taught the Book of Hebrews, and I've taught it before that. I was thinking it might be good one day to combine all of the Book of Hebrews into one thing so that we get it. Thank you, ma'am. So if you'll turn to Hebrews 1. Since this is a class on one of the books of the Bible, we're going to be using our Bibles quite a bit, as a matter of fact. Before we get started, I'd like to say hello to our newest student over here, Carol Moore. She's always had a hunger for Jesus. She's always done what she could under the circumstances that she had and lived for the Lord. And I just pray that the Lord will really, really use this. Because I know your heart isn't just to be a Bible school student. Your heart, you just want Jesus. And I just pray that that's exactly what you get. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1. And we're going to go ahead and read verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And if you have it in your margin, it will say literally in Son, not by his Son, but literally in Son. That is the true Greek words there. In Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. We'll just stop right there. And I want to set the stage for not only this chapter, but affecting really the whole book, but certainly up to chapter 9, where we have this word. Here it says in Son, but one of the words is Son. I want to take a little different approach on this verse and of the meaning of Son here than I have in the past, because I believe the Lord has shown me something here. And that is that the word Son here is not speaking of the Son of God, and in fact, and it is Jesus, but it's not Son of God as we understand it to be. And if you'll notice, it doesn't say Son of God. And most of the times in the Bible when it's referring to the third person of the Trinity, everybody say third person of the Trinity. Who is that referring to? The Son of God, right? Jesus, the Son of God. Okay, Father. Really, the Trinity isn't Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, is it? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that this is not your normal reference, and that is why it left out Son of God, because it doesn't want you to approach these things as Jesus, the Son of God, the third person of the Trinity, but rather, and if I may draw it in this manner, of course, a lot of times my handwriting is not cursive in its own way, but I'll just write Father. And then across from that, Son. Okay, I want you to notice that I didn't capitalize either one of those. Okay? Because I don't want to talk about the Son, But I want to talk about a son who is the Son of God, but he is a son. Do you see the difference? There is a difference, and we're going to be really, you know, if you don't get it right off the bat here, we'll be going over and over this. But in other words, many of the things that it is saying, not only in the first chapter and second chapter, but on down, many of the things it is saying, it is referring to Jesus as a S-O-N, small, not capital, but small, because he is to the Father his Son. Okay, I mean, I haven't broke any great revelation yet, but it's not going to really help you unless you begin to consider that what God is trying to communicate here is this reality that his that there is, and this is what he does all the way through Hebrews, that there is a comparison, not just between Jesus and everything else, not between the old covenant and the new covenant, not because between the Messiah and this and that, but it rather is contrasting not the Son of God who always was, who's, you know, the second person of the Trinity, who was and is to come, who is without beginning, without end, but rather the concept of a son to a father. Okay. Are any of you getting this so far? If you're sort of getting this, raise your hand. Okay, good. Now, you didn't have to raise your hand if you're not getting it, but. And so, for example, this chapter and the next chapter are going to contrast the Son with angels. But let me say it a little more clearly. It is going to contrast the difference of quality of a son having this toward God and an angel. Is that sort of lightening up a little bit more? Because a son has certain qualities, qualifications, and realities that are innate in his being that an angel would never have. Okay? Sort of following that? All right. Maybe I should read a little from my notes. All the other scriptures in the New Testament refer to the Son of God as the second person of the Trinity. It is a name that is specific to the Godhead. This small, no capital on Son here, this S-O-N, this is not in our context and in what it's going to try to show you is not referring to the Godhead. Referred to as the Trinity, referred to as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay. This is the only time it refers to Jesus simply as a son. That is because this verse is not a reference to the person known as the Son of God, but to the relation he has to God, to the Father, as a son would have. Okay. All right, so then it says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us in Son. All right. In time past, God spoke to us through people who knew the message and they communicated what they heard from God. For example, and this is what they use here. For example, a prophet heard what was in the heart of God. A prophet isn't just one who heard a message, who heard a teaching from God. A prophet is one who heard something from the heart of God and sought to communicate that. But now, God's language in these days, those days are past. And I don't believe that we fully comprehend that, nor do we, as it were, bow to it, give homage to it in the proper sense that it should be. Now, the language of God is in Son. That's his language to us. I wrote that somewhere else in here that we'll probably read. But God's language to us is in Son, but it's not a language, but it's how he communicates. Do you understand what I'm saying? God is not just talking to you. And if you are only hearing God talk to you and you do not see that coming from in Son, in union with the Son, then you may be hearing from God, but you, number one, you are not what he wants you to be. And number two, you are not receiving on the wavelength that God has sent forth with the putting away of the old covenant. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. Okay, now let's get real here. I remember when I was in Bible school, and I even before Bible school, and somebody read that, you know, or I read it. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. Well, okay. I have sort of a questioning mind. I would like to say that my middle name is Thomas, that the doubting part of me is actually a good thing connected with the rest of me, because it makes me question, not in a negative, unaccepting way, but in a, I don't understand, explain that to me. My thought was, how in the world is old things passed away and all things become new and all things are now of God? Because I don't seem to be of God. I mean, you know, not all things, certainly not all things. And my Christian friends don't, and my church doesn't seem to all be of God, and certainly not the world, but it's all the old has passed away and all things are new. And now, praise God, it's all of God. And you either ignore that and just go on and never ask any question, which I would say 90 some odd percent probably do that, or you deceive yourself. You go like this, okay, well, God said it, so everything's of God. So, you know, when the devil comes, you know, and comes in the middle of the night and crawls up in bed with you and pulls the cover over you and him, you know, that's of God. And so you just go, okay, well, praise God, you know. And so, and therefore, anything you do would be of God too, which we know that ain't true. Amen. Well, not anything, but certainly not everything that you do. And so, so neither one of those to me are acceptable. So there must be an answer. And that answer is, God is speaking that truth in Son. He is not speaking that truth in earth. Yes, he'd like it to be in earth as it is in, you know, but that's not where he's coming from. Because after the cross and since the resurrection, God now only communicates on one basis. And that's Son, but it's more than Son. It's not Son talking to you. It is not Son communicating with you. It is not, well, we used to have a prophet, but now we got the Son, and Jesus, you know, when I pray, Jesus talks to me. That's not in Son. That, again, is by Son, and that's how the writers translated this, and you want to know why? Because they didn't understand in. But the literal meaning is in Son. See, they translated according to their own understanding. My Lord, we need to not twist God's words to fit our understanding, but to say, Lord, change my little pea brain, you know, the vastness of my knowledge, Lord, change it and help me to see what you mean when you say in Son, when you say all things are passed away, when you say all things are of God, because why? Because in Son, in union, attached Two, you know, you can put the person on the inside or however you want to do it, like a vine or something. You can attach to it. One reason why I like drawing something outside of this is that you begin to see that if you are in union with the Son, well, let me just say, before I say that, I'm sorry. Before I say that, let me just say that I used to think that being in Christ was just, you know, I don't even know if I can explain it. That to be in Christ was just like a glass with water and you put a marble in there. That was really sort of my understanding. And the way the picture was always drawn, of course, for me, was this circle with that represented Jesus, and then this little circle, which represented the believer, which I happen to be a believer, so I'm a little circle in the big circle. I'm a marble in the glass of water. And so my understanding, the way I viewed being in Christ, was somehow I'm in there, and I've come to the place where God's happy with me. Okay. Take my marble out of the glass of water and put it out here, and that marble's in trouble. Put it in there, and I go, okay, that's cute. At best, it's cute. But it so falls short of the glory of God. Because that marble never changes. It just changes position. Right? It's still the same marble. So we go, okay, and you know what? That's how we view ourselves. Well, I'm still the same marble, but thank God I'm in Christ. Right? Everything's good. I mean, I'm pretty much okay now. And, you know, it doesn't matter what I'm going to do or whatever because I'm in Christ. Okay. Well, a lot of those words are true, but they're being applied to something different because he doesn't mean in son like that. He means in son more like a branch coming out of a vine that is connected into him, and then what's in him also comes in us. And he says that, I in you and you in me. Right? A marble does not enjoy that kind of union. A marble does not enjoy that kind of in-ness. Boy, how would you spell that? Anyway, it doesn't enjoy that kind of union and in-ness because it is not in reality in the fullest sense of it. It is in but separate. And that cannot be the case. And that is not the way God wants you to view yourself, because to do that means everything within that marble has not passed away. Right. All the old that it was before then has not passed away. And so you cannot say with clarity, because I mean, what does the scripture say? If any man be in Christ, if any man be in union with Christ, old things are passed away. Well, how did you get in union with Christ? Well, you know what I'm going to draw next. Great big old cross. Because that's the only way. The only way for the old things to pass away is to pass away. And then have a funeral for it. Right? You know, we go, it passed away. There it is, there it is. There it goes. Okay. The old just left. I saw it. No, you're the old. You are. I am. We are the old. We carry all of the DNA of the old, of the fallen nature. The only thing that is not of the fallen nature is Jesus. He is not of this world. He said, I am not of this world. We go, well, praise God. You know, what does that mean practically? Nothing except for you came from up there and we came from down here. I mean, really. I mean, if you know, we don't even examine our thoughts on these things. We don't, you know, I am not of this world. It is not my source. My DNA is not from it. I am from the Father. The Father sent me. I am out from the Father. That's how I am known. That's who I am. I am, as far as you are concerned, the new. All right. Now let's examine that in light of a couple of scriptures. Jesus in the book of Revelation says, "Behold, I make all things new." Do we see that verse in Son? Do we hear it from the language of God? Or do we hear it according to our old understanding? "Behold, I make all things new." I'm new. I am new. What's new about you? Well, I'm saved. What about your mind? Well, that ain't new, but, you know, how about some of your words that you use? Well, they're the same old ones, you know, not very pretty, but I'm new, you know. And how about some of your actions and stuff? What about those attitudes? Well, those aren't new. I had those before, but I'm new. Well, you know, I mean, we can keep going with this. And sooner or later, we have to say, I'm not new. I am not the newness of this thing. I am not the newness of it. And keep your place here in Hebrews, but a fine place to look at right now would be Romans chapter 6, wouldn't it? Romans 6 and verse 4. Romans 6, 4. "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death." Now, you know, let me stop one moment. Baptism. Have you been buried with him in baptism into death? That's the real question. Didn't ask you, have you been water baptized? And this isn't talking about water baptism, and the word water is never mentioned in chapter 6 because the baptism here is baptism into death and has nothing to do with water except that water baptism is an outward sign of this spiritual reality. And that's why we become water baptized. Does water baptism save you? No. Water baptism doesn't save you. Baptism into his death does. I mean, if you keep the process going, because that in the rest of this verse, I'll explain that in a minute. But we have to understand, do we read these things in God's language, or do we read it after the old covenant way? Well, somebody said that we're baptized. Somebody said I'm new. Somebody said this. Somebody said, or the scripture says, you know, I'm baptized, so everything's wonderful. You know, I've been baptized, though I have newness of life. No, it doesn't say you've been baptized in water, therefore you have newness of life. It says you got baptized in water because you believed an incredible reality that you were brought down into that death with Christ so that the old could pass away, pass on. The removal is the passing away. The death is the old things passing away. The death is, it's glorious because it is our road to the highest form of life we ever could have, the Son. It is. And we have a choice, don't we? We all have a choice. We can just get water baptized, and just like we did that, well, we went through the ritual and we say, I pleased God with that. While he's gone, well, you never got baptized into my death. We can do this over here, and we can say that, and we can quote all these scriptures, and still be us, still be a marble in the water, and never fully change, because you can't fully change, because the old has not passed away through those, that means through the prophet teaching you this, and from you saying, yes, Lord. And let me say this, were the prophets speaking God's word? Yes, they were. Were they sent of God? Yes. Did the people that truly hear from God? Yes. Yes, they did. But that's passed away. God doesn't want to speak through the prophets anymore. He wants to speak in Son. He wants this language of in Son to communicate and to dictate over all verses. And again, you know, I'm having to build here, but this is the wonder the path that God has brought us into. It is the stair steps leading in to the beauty of what is Christ, but we have to make these steps. We have to take these steps. We have to even understand them. I mean, you know, because if you don't, you cannot help but make mistakes. You will make mistakes because you will what? Misinterpret Scripture. What will you leave out? Son. What else will you leave out? In. So it's just you trying to serve God, listening to prophets. Amen? And that's the old covenant. And that passed away where? Right here at the cross. That's where it passed away. Now, to whom is it all passed away? To the Father. To the Father. And to the Son. But to the Father, it's like he lives in this wonderful land of spring and, you know, Mr. Bluebird landing on his shoulder and all of the glory of squirrels running around and everything's just so pretty and all that. He lives there and we live in an ugly world down here trying to get him to bless us. And in his heart he's saying, come up here. He's saying, receive my word. Now, challenge number one. Wait till we get to chapter 3 and 4 where it talks about an evil heart of unbelief. Because this is the heart of what that's talking about. This is it. This is it. And it's also, this is the heart of what he's talking about with the contrast of Moses and the high priest and everything else. It is all premised right here in the first two verses and then expanded throughout the rest. And that's what we're going to be about until we get to some of the latter chapters, God willing. But there's some other things I want to share with you also in this course that the Lord has shared with me that I think will be a blessing. All right. So let me just read a few things because half of our class is already gone. In times past, he spoke to us by people who knew his message. Can we all say amen? But now, God's language to us in these last days is in Son. In olden times, the prophets were those who just showed up and delivered God's word to us, didn't they? They showed up many times. If you'll follow the prophets, they're out doing stuff and whatever, and the prophet shows up and goes, thus saith the Lord. You know, most of the time you didn't walk around with a prophet. You know, hey, dude, you know, where are you going? I think I need to go buy some milk. Okay, cool. Well, thus saith the Lord, you know. No. In a sense, and I wrote it here somewhere, in a sense they were like strangers. And therefore, their message was sort of like a strange message. They were like strangers. They were like, showed up. And said this stuff, and you go, or you went, that ain't true. You know? All right, so, in olden times, the prophets were those who just showed up and delivered God's word to us, but for all intents and purposes, they were strangers. But the Son is not simply a prized messenger. He is the joy of the Father's heart. The joy of the Father's heart. You are never going to understand a true and right and real and wholesome relationship with your Heavenly Father without knowing the Son and knowing in-Son reality. Beginning in-Son reality. To know in-Son reality begins with what? Comprehending in-Son language. Now let's be honest. I'm just talking to you now. Class goes down. How many of you, when you first started hearing this, it sounded like another language? I mean, I was just like, what? You know, it was just weird to me. I mean, it was like, you know, I felt like Peanuts, you know, and Charlie Brown's pants. Wah, 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 and you're just going, What are they saying? Wah, 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 wah. And then they would talk, you know. Well, that's what God was like. Talking, but I didn't get it. And I didn't understand it. And I remember even grasping sometimes just one little phrase or sentence and going, okay, I got that. And just to, like within a day or two, it was like a mist that just vanished. I just went, how did that go? And even when I had written it down and could read it, the same fullness wasn't there. And it's like, I feel like I'm a zombie down here trying to get a hold of something. And I, you know, and God is up there with a whole choir singing this thing, and I don't get it. And it was very disturbing to me. Because why? Because my spirit bore witness that that was the truth. That was where it was getting me. That's where the rub was coming. Because my spirit was going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And my brain was going, what, what? You know, I don't get this, you know. And, you know, what is it, that particularly in your first year or two, you go, why didn't I ever hear this before? You know, well, why didn't you hear it the first time you heard it? You know, maybe God's been wanting for a long time and nobody's hearing him. You know, we just go, what was that? It thundered. Remember that? Remember that? That happened where it thundered, you know, and God spoke and some of the people said it thundered. Jesus is saying, no, my Father just spoke to me. My Father spoke to the Son. Well, it thundered. No. All right. So, there is that thing that stands in our way. For all intents and purposes, they were strangers, but the Son is not simply a prized messenger. He is the joy of the Father's heart. However, that Son is not walking the earth delivering God's message as did the prophets, but he is seated in a finished work. That's different, isn't it? The prophets are telling us stuff that's not finished yet. The prophets are telling us stuff that was going to come to pass. Or maybe it's finished in the heart of God, but it's not finished to you. And they're speaking, but we're not getting that. But Jesus is not speaking except in the reality of when he sat down. This is what I got to say to you. And the Father basically says that. I speak to you now. God hath now spoken to us in Son, who is now seated at his right hand in a finished work. He would say, now hear that. Say, that's the difference, folks. That's the difference. We can spend our whole life listening to people. Especially in Christianity, people will talk and talk and talk. I, you know, like I said, this is my third time to teach Hebrews. At some juncture, we have to, as it were, turn down the voice of the preacher and turn up the voice of the Holy Spirit, who is speaking these realities to us. And he can, I want you to know this, he can override any teacher. What I mean by that is, it doesn't matter what anybody teaches. All you got to do is walk in, sit down, and say, Holy Spirit, I just want to hear from Jesus. I want to hear Christ. I want you to speak this in Son language right now to me. Well, he's ready. He wants to. It may not be anything they say, or they may say a phrase wrong, and from that the Holy Spirit opens it up to you or something like that. I mean, I remember going to churches, and in my early days it was like, well, they don't know the Lord. You know, I mean, I was, you know, I'd like to say I was full of Jesus. I was full of Mises. And I would come in and I'd sit down and I already had my walls up. You know what I'm saying? This guy can't teach me anything because I'm so deep. What was I, 2 years old in the Lord? For God's sake. But you know, I know more than everybody. You know, now I don't know anything. So how's that work? But you know, just going, oh, you know, and then sitting there and picking apart what the guy's saying. Oh, that's the Lord. Oh, did you hear that? I remember, this is horrible, I remember me and a couple of Bible school students sitting in the church service at Berean Fellowship International with the leader up there talking, and he just said something like, you know, like Wyman being a missionary, and he came up, and it's at the conference, let's say, maybe one church service conference, and he says, you know, from the pulpit to Wyman, I'm proud of you and Kathy and the work that you're doing down in Monterey, Mexico. And I turned to one of the guys sitting there and says, God hates pride. Don't be laughing like you're so holy. I know better than that. I know you have the same kind of junk. Man, I just, you know, I was so, you know, it was like I wasn't looking for the Lord. I was looking for what wasn't the Lord.
Right.
Well, eventually, God dealt with my heart about all that, thank God. And eventually, I could go anywhere, any church, under any circumstances, and sit down and say, Lord, however you want to use this, if you want to speak through him, if you want to use something that he said that was contrary, but I'm not going to center on that. I just want Jesus. Or if you're not going to use him at all and you're just going to speak to me, whatever. And I am telling you, I have heard the Lord in incredible ways from people who really didn't know that much about the Lord. It all depends on your heart. Do you want Jesus or do you just want to criticize? Okay? And that serpent will rear up to bite you in the rear if you keep him in your pocket. He will. You may not think so. You may think you're above stuff. This is just wisdom. This is God's wisdom. This is Buddha's wisdom. Just humble yourself, okay? It's Hindu, it's whatever. Every bit of it says, quit exalting yourself and humble yourself, okay? Now, we do it because it's Christ, not because it's the teaching of Christ, because it's Christ in us to do that. But you have to open your heart to say, Jesus, live in me in that way.
Amen.
You have to say, I don't want to be the greatest, you know, because they remember, Jesus' own disciples are fighting. Who's going to be the greatest? Arguing, trying to work it out. Well, you're not going to work it out with flesh because their flesh is the same as your flesh. You know? You're not going to work it out. So they decided, well, okay, since we can't work it out within ourselves, let's get mom.
Oh, man.
They did. They brought mom to Jesus and had her ask him. Absolutely. You know, don't you know that now, sitting as a pillar of Zion, they're going, oh God, I wish they would not tell those stories down there. But I tell them on me because it's until Jesus is formed in us, we're all hopeless. All right, the next statement after this is important, so I'm going to reread this statement. However, that son is not walking the earth delivering God's message as did the prophets, but is seated in a finished work. We are not seeking to gain something, but to realize something. How many of you understand that statement? Raise your hand. Good. All right, we are not seeking to gain something, but to realize something. You see, we're not down here hearing the message and seeking Jesus to impart it because that's the same as what he did in the Old Covenant. That's what he did with the prophets. You're not seeking Jesus to teach you. You're seeking for the Holy Spirit to to reveal the you that is in Son already. Is that good news? Well, yeah, because you don't have to earn something.
That's right.
And you could never earn this anyway. I mean, the way you are, you can't. Never mind. Never mind. But, I mean, we can't. We can't. We cannot earn this. And the reality that has to be fixed within your being so that it becomes permanent. How many of you want this permanent? It has to be permanent. And the permanence of it is, I am not seeking to gain something as if I don't have it. I am seeking to realize what I have in Son. What a difference a day makes. The day of the cross, where the old passed away and Jesus rose from the dead and he sat at the right hand of the Father, and we were raised up and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. And that happened 2,000 years ago, and you're already there. You can't get there. You're already there. Nothing you can do can get you there. You're already there. Our task, our heart, is not seeking for God like running after Jesus, you know, as he walked the streets of Galilee. Oh, Jesus, give me something, you know. Like the one with the, you know, lame hand or whatever. Lord, heal my hand, you know. What's the old saying? Lord, make my hand like the other one. And he goes, oh. Sorry. We're not trying to get hold of him to get him to give us something. Okay. Consider your prayer life now. Come on, let's be real. I mean, if that is true, then how are we praying? Oh, Lord, please give me. You have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay? Oh, Lord, please give me what you already say I have. No, wrong prayer. Lord, open my eyes, open my understanding to grasp what is already true by my union with you, by me being in Son. Yes, sir. Well, that's right.
That
because
all the stuff with me that we would grow up, and it took a lot of pressure, takes the pressure off. Well, it did, you know.
Yes.
And then you learn more and more. But
amen.
I always was comfortable with that because I you know, and not in a hurry to kind of grab everything because this is a Christ and you hear this and that. But because growing up is something I understood about, you know, kind of growing.
Well, we have the example in the Old Covenant. You know, the Old Covenant did give us pictures of the true reality in Christ, but it was a shadow form.
Amen.
So it wasn't the full reality. And God said to Israel when he brought them out of Egypt, he says, I am bringing you into a land that is yours. I have given it to you. That's the stuff he said. I have given it to you. And they're in the wilderness with snakes and lack of water and everything else. And they're going, well, where is it? You know, he says, well, there's a process of realization. And that's what that journey was. Because the truth is, as soon as you're born again, you're in. Okay? But we don't always understand that. So he says, now go in and possess it.
Yes.
Possess
yes.
What is yours. In other words, lay hold of it, make it practical, put it to work in your life, walk out the length and breadth. But it's already yours. And as long as they believed, as long as they walked with the Lord, the enemy was defeated.
Yes.
It's like Achan taking something and hiding it, like, well, this is mine. Well, it was all yours. I mean, you know, I mean, in truth, everything in there is yours. They're all going to die out. At least that's the way it was meant to be. All of the enemies, all of the foreigners, all of the foreign particles in your eyes and in your brains, and, you know, all that is foreign to him will be driven out. But little by little, so that you can possess it, so that you can keep what you got. Sure. If you promise it's just one last thing. I'm teasing you, brother. Go ahead.
Is there a way we can help that? I mean, you know, I know we're not to sin and stuff, but I mean, is that the way we help that, being pure and righteous and as we best can be? You know, I mean, I know we're born pieces of garbage somewhat, but, well, I mean, you know, we're not.
Maybe I should talk now. You know, anything that is of our righteousness is filthy rags to God. But we're going to be righteous. I mean, see, he didn't say you're unrighteous, your horrible sins, that's like filthy rags to me. He said your righteousness is. And we keep trying to do this through the old covenant way. And the way to do it is, and the end result is the same, except for it's better, and that is, There is purity, there is righteousness, there is all these things, but he has made unto us righteousness. He has made unto us sanctification. He has made a, and so our goal, you know, it's like, Lord, I want you, and I want to conform to your image, and I want to realize this reality of being in Son as you understand it. I think that's a big deal. And Kelly, your thing just got out of here. You know, doesn't this look like some sort of bomb? I mean, I keep looking down going, I wonder if it's going to go off. It just did. It went off. So anyway, that's the deal. But the avenue is not by us becoming better so that he'll accept us. That's totally ridiculous. I mean, didn't it? I mean, really? I mean, if you really just lay out your list, really dumb. The avenue is, he must increase and I must decrease. And you set that in your heart and you go after the Lord. And when you read the word, you say, reveal your son in me. Yes. When you're out, you know, out and about and whatever, say, Lord, let it be Christ and not I. Not I, but Christ, you know. So that's the process. And that's some of the change that begins to take place as we learn the language of in Son. Amen? Yes. Then we begin to hear, because if you don't learn the language, you're not going to hear.
That's right.
I mean, that's just, you know, I go to Latin America and stuff like that, and you're sitting there and they're all talking. If I don't know the language, they're blah, 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 blah. I don't hear what they're saying. I mean, you know, you can say, I can hear, blah, 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 and you go, well, you know, sometimes people think I know more Spanish than what I do, and they say, what do you say? And I go, I don't know. You know? Actually, I used to say, oh, he said, what a great minister I was, and he's talking about me. I'm joking, but I would joke with people that way sometimes. And they would go, no, he's not. Because we know you. All right, so we're not seeking to gain something, but to realize something. We are not taught something that we are not one with. We are not taught something that we are not one with. Right. Well, that's huge, because the prophets taught us and told us and said stuff that we weren't one with. And I'm not just talking about the Old Testament prophets. I'm talking about the people in the New Testament are teaching us stuff that we're not one with. And they expect us to get it and to change without giving us the oneness that will do it. And we can't. And we've tried. And we failed, and we've cried, and we've hurt, and we've moaned, and we've groaned, and we've cried out, and oh, wretched man that I am, what is wrong with me? I love you, Lord. Why can't I get over this stuff? And if I'd shut up long enough,
yes,
he would say, You are over it. Here's where I got you over, at the cross. And here's the victory now that you have, even your faith in this union. That's your victory. So I moved from being a Jew to being a Christian, if you will. I'm not a Christian in reality, but I moved from being a Jew to one who is a believer. And that believer begins to say, okay, I'm not going to whine and groan and wish that I had something somebody else has but I don't have. I mean, anybody you see that you think really has the Lord, all they've got is the realization of what you haven't figured out yet. I mean, really, that's all. And when you figure it out, you'll have exactly the same thing. And, you know, I'll just throw this out. I mean, when I was in Bible school, oh, my God. I remember the first session where we sat around in this big room, and this was before you were there, but you later, y'all's class had to do it too. Sat around in this big room that was almost like a circle and had all these Bible school students. And you had to go around and say something about yourself. And I always had problems with public speaking, if you can believe that. I mean, I had major problems with public speaking. And so anytime I'd talk, my throat would just lock up, and then I wouldn't be able to talk. And then people go, okay, well, let's go to the next one. And that's what happened that time. Going around and so, say your name, and my name is Randy. Go to the next one. And I could not speak in public. And as I was in Bible school, I thought, you know, I mean, if you can imagine, I thought, if you're wanting me to be a preacher, they're going to be really short sermons. You know, thus saith the Lord. He said something. I am not joking. I had a horrible time with, and I just thought, well, and the Spirit of God and the teaching that was going on and stuff said, forget about you, forget about your future, just get after Jesus. Conform, let him increase, go after the Lord, and he'll take care. All these things will be added unto you. Okay. Well, I'm thinking, yeah, except for it's not going to change this problem I have, but nonetheless, I set my heart for the Lord. Okay. I remember when God began to finally reveal his son in me. And in that same group of people, somebody didn't show up. They're supposed to lead the thing. And so they put me in charge of it. And they put Augie in charge of leading the worship. And I'd get up there and I'd just start sharing Jesus because I wasn't talking about me. I had nothing to say about me. It had nothing to do with me personally, me. It was all about this me that's in union with him, so it's about him. Do you see? And it freed me up to do public speaking. You know, they say that this is absolutely true. The biggest fear that people have is public speaking. Bigger than spiders or sharks or clowns or all that. Way, way bigger. Way bigger, you know, way bigger. And, you know, I just don't have a problem. I mean, I've spoken in front of thousands of people or three people, and it's absolutely no difference. I mean, no difference, because I'm not speaking to numbers. I'm lifting up Christ. I'm speaking of another. I'm not talking about me. I don't want to talk about me. Somebody says, now, brother, when you get up there, tell them your name and tell them your ministry and what's been going on, and then preach, you know. And I walk up there and say, well, my name's Randy Nussbaum and I love Jesus. Now turn in your Bible to so-and-so. That's, you know, and on many of the recordings in these foreign countries, that's what I did. Because I don't want to talk about me. And I have found out that when they force me to, I start losing my voice. So I just stick with sharing Jesus. All right, what is my point of saying all that? Folks, all that we need is in Son. Amen. I never would have believed that truth could have overcome my speaking. Do you see? You see what I mean? I mean, if you try to connect the two, you go, well, I don't see how that could happen. Well, that's right. We don't see. Let's just stop there. We don't see. And the other problem is we're trying to see the wrong thing. What we need to see is Jesus. And when we see him, we'll be changed. And when we're changed, it'll be Christ and it'll be no longer I. Yes?
We're still trying to be so we can't see.
Right. Amen. Yep. Okay, so at least I can finish this paragraph here. The prophets of old spake of his sufferings and the glories which would follow, but the Son sat down in oneness. We are not meant to be hearers only, but partakers. I think that's what James is talking about, not being hearers only, but doers. It's a partaker. It is one who is partaking of the realities. But see, even that, we read that, and we don't read the book of James in sun, do we? With in sun language. We read it based on our old covenant way that we were raised, and this is how you do it, and all the teachers we've ever had says this is the way you do it. And I believed that, and I had teachers until, you know, and the Bible says, how shall you hear without a preacher? But somebody once started teaching me and talking, not me, but talking, and I was in the group to whom they spoke, about this reality of being in Christ. And my spirit sang. I was an orphan and a reject and everything that you could imagine. I was a drug dealer. I'd been busted. I got two felonies. I mean, one in the state of Texas, one more thing. Being in the wrong place at the wrong time, I can go to prison for 25 years. I have got more junk and more problems in who I am, so that when I heard this beautiful message, you know, you hear what can be Christ. Good. You know, not I, but Christ. Thank God. How does that take place? The cross. The cross will do that for me? Yes, I want it. I want that. I'm signing up right now. I want that. I need that. I need that. You may not. Amen? You may not. Others may not. People watching the video may not. I want that because I need that because I have nothing to hope in of myself. And people look at me now and they go, oh, he's so confident. Oh, he's this. Oh, I'm nothing. I am nothing. I have not hopefully all that's left after the cross is just an earthen vessel in which the treasure is there. So much of the thing, Brother Randy is so patient. I'm not patient at all. I mean, you should see my family. I mean, you really, honestly, they'll kill you. They will kill you. And in no time. I had a member of my family when I didn't show up for something when I was in high school. Didn't show up for something at their house. This family member held a grudge for like 40, no, it's probably more than that, 50 years. 40 or 50 years. We got it worked out. Everything's good. But I'm telling you, you know, that's what works in me. I could, you know, oh man, I could be somebody's worst nightmare. It's all He wouldn't hurt a flea. Well, I would. I'd rip its little legs off. I would. I'm telling you. You know. No, I would. I'm a bad man. But Jesus has overcome me in those ways, and he has. He has overcome me. And I'm not the same because it's not I but Christ. It's his patience, not mine. It's his life, not mine. And God knows I got so much more to grow in and barely started. But this is precious reality to me. This is the Garden of Eden, and a beautiful ocean to swim in, and everything I would ever want. And I'm content. And whatever price I have to pay, I can't give this up to go back to what that was. I will not do that. All right, let's pray. Father, just continue to speak to our hearts, but more than that, open our hearts. Don't be a prophet to us. But Holy Spirit, open our hearts to the one, the Son, in whom we are, that we may realize what is true and not try to gain it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.